And welcome everybody to the Future of Professional Wrestling Podcasting, the Body Slam Radio. Of course, my name is Duncan Welker. I am your host. And ladies and gentlemen, today I am interviewing someone very special. The man formerly known as Kazarni in the WWE, now known as the Warlord of Weird. He is Sin Bodhi. Sin, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So the first question I'm going to ask you is one I'm fairly certain you've been asked a lot, and it probably won't be the last time someone will ask you. But what was your time like in WWE as Kazarni?
I enjoyed it, but it was frustrating because I was just trying to do as best I could. But, you know, it's a strange character, and it was just a weird time, and just trying to fit in and make sure I was doing the best I could do. You know, I just didn't want to disappoint anybody. Didn't want to disappoint myself. Didn't want to disappoint, you know, the people that were integral in helping me get that opportunity. I didn't want to disappoint the fans. I didn't want to disappoint Vince McMahon. I didn't want to disappoint anybody. So,
Yeah. I understand. Very good answer. So the next question is, what was the transition like between Kazarni and Sin Bodhi? Because obviously they're very, very different characters.
So I'm a legit circus guy. I'm a former circus strongman, sideshow freak, sideshow geek magician, whatever you want to call it, like, you know, all that stuff. So Kazarni was just a very, 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 very PG version of what Sin Bodhi grew into. A lot of the stuff that we shot for the Kazarni vignettes we couldn't use because Vince thought it was a little too aggressive.
Right.
Didn't want to scare the kiddies and all that stuff. But I think it might have worked very differently in this landscape. Maybe not then, but now definitely.
Right. Yes. All right. So my next question for you is, how did you get in to professional wrestling? Because everybody has a different origin stories.
So I grew up with Edge and Christian. We all like loved wrestling. You know, that story is, you know, everybody knows that.
Right.
And so Edge won the essay writing contest with Ron Hutchinson. And then later on, Christian and I, we were trying to figure out how to, you know, save up to go to Ron's school. But Edge, like, just, you know, he was a little runty guy. And then over, like, one summer, he just kind of shot up. And me and Christian were still a little runts. You know, we were late bloomers. So, later on, then, you know, we thought, hey, maybe if we don't get into college, we're going to go. And I got into college, and Jay didn't. So he went and trained a little bit before me. And then they started. And also, too, like, at that time, I really didn't know about, like, you know, cruiserweight wrestling, you know, Mexican wrestling, Japanese wrestling. I just kind of knew WWF. And I knew, like, you know, NWA from the magazines and stuff because we were in Canada and we didn't get a whole lot of that stuff. But I think, like, I really do attribute, not that I'm a small guy, but I think by that landscape in that era, me and Christian were very small. Like, when people see, like, X-Pac versus, or 1-2-3 versus Razor Ramon, and it almost looks, you know, the size difference is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I'm X-Pac size, and I'm a pretty big guy on the indie landscape. So, you know, just times change, but I do. I credit Christian for, if Christian didn't go and do it, I might not have, you know, follow my dreams just because thinking, hey, I got to be 7 feet tall just to be a referee in WWF.
Yes. All right. So my next question is a Body Slam Radio staple. I ask everybody, what is your favorite title belt, both past or present?
Oh, that's a good one. I kind of think maybe the tag title from the days of the Bulldogs and the Dream Team.
Right. Right. And about one current day, like, you know, anything from WWE, AEW, other companies like that.
That's a good question. Maybe the spinner belt, just because I know Edge hated it.
you know it's funny. He actually had his own version, you know, with the rated R spinner belt.
Yeah, and I'll go with that one. I'll go with the spinner rated R.
All right. So my next question moves away from professional wrestling. And it is, what would you be doing right now if you didn't, you know, follow your dreams into professional wrestling?
Oh, boy. Well, again, I was lucky to grow up with some really great friends. They're as close to me as my own blood brother. And I think if I didn't have those friends, I might be in prison right now. But I don't know. You know, maybe be in comic books or something like that. Be some kind of illustrator or maybe a writer. Like, I love, like, drawing and writing and stories and characters.
Yes.
And stuff like that.
It's very evident by your tattoos there. You know, they
don't ever fall asleep at a party.
All right. So the next question is a two-parter, and it, you know, transitions back into professional wrestling. What is your favorite match, and what is your least favorite match?
Of mine or in general?
Just yours.
Well, I think I probably go down in history as having the crappiest dark match of all time. Edge got me a dark match opportunity when I was, you know, I couldn't have had 30-40 matches under my belt. I was way underprepared, but I was too dumb and green to know that I wasn't ready for it. And I think I would have been okay if I had somebody good to lead me at that stage of the game. But they saddled me up with a buddy of mine who was just as green as I was. But he was super, super nervous, and so he kind of locked up out there, and I just didn't know how to deal with that. Now I could handle that in my sleep, but right. Back then, I didn't. And, you know, everybody puts more of the blame on him, and I think it takes two to tango. We were both in there. Absolutely. It was the shits, and I had to live with that and own it, and I just sort of decided I was just going to use that as, like, my fuel to become as good as possible. And so that would be probably, my worst match. And then I think my funnest, like, if that's a word, maybe me and Gangrel and like we did this thing where we had our wrists taped together and we had machetes. Wow. And we had a pretty crazy sort of like a Michael Jackson beat it knife fight kind of a match.
Oh, I saw the highlights. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I saw the highlights for that one. Now I was kind of watching your match just to study up who you are, and I was like, what? But it's enjoyable. But.
It was fun. It was definitely out of the box. It was fun. Amazing Jonathan would always kind of say, he would kind of joke and say that, he'd say, Sin, you are not only out of the box, but you're across the hall from the room that the box is kept in. I'll take that as a compliment from... He's basically comedy's answer to Jake the Snake. Like, you know, they're like the two psychological masters. So I'll take that compliment. They both sort of said more or less the same thing, and I'll take that. I think spiritually, my funnest, again, if that's a real word, my funnest match was I was doing a fantasy camp match. Right. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're Billy Crystal and I'm, what's his face from City Slickers, you know.
Yeah.
It's meant for, you know, just whoever to come in and kind of play wrestler. Right. I keep you safe. We move around. We do all this and that. And I had a young man come in all the way from England to do it. Wow. And he had autism. And, you know, I'm not a medical expert, but I know that autistic people are not fans of being touched. So, right. And he had this super, super thick British accent that was so hard to understand him. And he was very, like, quirky and very sweet. But I wanted to make sure I could give him the best experience he could have. And... after it was all said and done, his mom brought him, and she was in tears and said, like, you got more out of him, like, with, like, physical connection, and you made him giggle and laugh and enjoy himself, like, as far as she was concerned, and got more, like, kind of physical, I don't know what the right word is, like, more, like, progress out of him in, you know, 2.5 hours than some therapist did in, like, 2 years. And then I was like, I'll take that. And then later, she complimented me and emailed me and said, she goes, that was his favorite day ever.
Wow.
So I was responsible for somebody's favorite day. I'll take that. Wow. To me, that's the good stuff. You know, like that's what our job is. It's not getting over and doing some cool move. Right. It's making people happy.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
By that parameter, that match was my favorite match.
Right. Right.
So thanks, Tiger, for the match.
All right. So what's something you want to tell up and coming wrestlers, whether they'd be young or old?
If that makes sense.
Work smart, play safe. This business is the funnest business in the world, but it does not owe you a thing. So enjoy it and live your dreams.
Absolutely. So my final question for you, Mr. Brody, is, you know, you've done everything. You've been the WWE, TNA, you've been across the world, I'm fairly certain. But so what's next?
I wouldn't say everything, but I definitely have... been appreciative of wrestling, letting me see different countries, different cities, states, provinces, meet all sorts of different people, you know. So, I don't know, we'll see what's in the cards, but there's a lot of awesome wrestling companies across the land now. This is the best time to be a wrestler ever.
Absolutely.
So many great things going on. So hopefully I wind up at one of those companies and get to entertain people. And I would definitely like to taper into doing more coaching, like we have the Snake Pit in Las Vegas, right. The FSW Snake Pit. And it's me, D'Lo Brown, Jake the Snake, Keith Guitaro, Kenny King from ROH, Disco Inferno sometimes. And we have so many guests to pop in.
Right.
You know, TJP, Daivari, Al Snow, Jimmy Hart's been in there, Gangrel, Adam Cole, Matt Hardy, you name it. Just a long, long list of dudes. So it's pretty much like one-stop shopping, and I really do enjoy coaching. And I'm not old, but I'm not young either. So like I'm young enough that I can hang and I can go.
Right.
But I think I've accrued a lot of knowledge over my 20 years in the business, and I would love to give back to the younger guys and help to keep them safe and creative. So, you know, where I could apply that, you know, just as long as I'm wrestling in front of humans, that's cool.
All right. So thank you very much once again for coming on. It means a lot to me, you know, interviewing someone of your caliber.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. So you guys can follow Sin Bodhi on his socials. If you want to say them, go ahead.
Yep, it's on my Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all the same. It's Sin Bodhi, one word, SinnBodhi. And you'll see where I am, where I'm going to be, in your neck of the woods, and your corner of the planet, and I will see you at the shows.
All right. Very good plug. So that's it for pretty much everything. Again, I'd like to thank Sin Bodhi and his awesome La Parka bag for coming on.
Loot your purse.
I'm just going to, I'm not going to. All right. So thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank
See you.
You
next time.
Thank you. Well.